We're going to take just a break from our study in Ecclesiastes. We're nearing the end, and I don't know if we'll finish next week or 2 weeks, but I wasn't sure. I just wanted to kind of pull back for a night and wasn't sure how many would be or not be here. And so I want to just take a few moments and just really encourage you in some of the very basics of the Christian walk. I want to talk about some habits and things that are good to incorporate in our lives. And many of you may have these habits already, but I want to get some input from some of you as well to maybe share with the rest of us how you go about having these habits. What does it look like in your life? And so these really are, I have six. I don't know that we'll get through all six of them tonight, but six habits that will help you to grow in your Christian life. Six habits to help you grow. Now, if I were to take a survey, I imagine the top two or three of mine would be on everybody's thoughts. And so let's go ahead and just start with that first one, and that would be to read the manual. Read the manual. Ever hear the Bible referred to as basic instructions before leaving earth? That's what God wants us to have, is really the instructions on how to live. Now, we know that God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that it is piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We know that the Bible, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to ask you this question, though. How many of you, maybe you got saved at a young age and it was a habit ever since you can remember, but maybe for some of you, it took some time to get that habit in, and maybe some of you are working at making that a habit in your life daily now. I'm going to give you some things in just a moment I think will be a help to you, but I want to ask those of you that have been saved for some time, how many of you, it was a difficult habit to get started and just to be consistent, to be... Now, I know maybe when you first got saved, when I first got saved, I just wanted to devour the Bible. I was so hungry for it, but then it seemed to have that consistency. It became work. It was challenging and difficult. I know in our family devotions, it's hard to find that time during the day where we're all going to be together and we can talk about something and be devoted. But even in a personal devotions, I remember even going through Bible college and working and school, it's a challenge. And if we don't make it a priority, it's not going to happen. You know, when I have an appointment with somebody, of course, it's all on my phone now or my computer. We have digital calendars, but if I don't put somebody's name on there, I am not going to remember. I'm going to miss that appointment, and I can guarantee that I'm going to be absent or tardy somewhere if it doesn't make it onto my calendar. And maybe you're the same way, or maybe you have a memory that's as strong as a steel trap. My memory is excellent. It's just very short, okay? And so I need to put it in my calendar if I'm going to make that appointment. But the same is I would put that time or that meeting with any of you. You say, Pastor, I need to meet. I'd put that in my calendar. I want to make sure that I'm ready for that. I have that same kind of priority with my time with the Lord. It is a time that is precious, and it is something that we have to invest in. And so I want you to know, maybe in your daily walk, you're a little spotty. I'm not going to say give up on that. Don't give up. What it is a time to set the bar higher and say, when can I be consistent? And so one of the things I say, if you're going to really start to walk with the Lord, make it a habit to spend time in God's Word every single day. And if you're going to do that, it means you're going to have to make it a priority. It's going to have to be important to you. I've heard some preachers say, no physical food until you have your spiritual food. I like that, because you know what? At some point in the day, I'm going to be hungry enough to say, I want to eat. But that would be a reminder then to say whether or not I've had my spiritual food, if I've taken time in God's Word. And so whether it's reading through the Bible in a year, which I think is good, but I don't think that's the only way to read your Bible, I wanted to ask some of you, maybe what are you doing in your Bible reading this year? Because I think it's interesting when we start talking about that, somebody may say, oh, I've never thought about that. Just a few years ago, my wife read her Bible through chronologically, and I thought, I think I'd like to do that. So the next year, that's what I did. And I thought that was interesting. And of course, you can't get two chronological Bibles that are exactly the same. I like the one that starts with "In the beginning was the Word." Okay, John 1:1 was the first verse in a chronological Bible. I thought that was interesting. But anybody want to share tonight? What are you doing for your devotions? Anybody want to say? You say, well, I'm just reading through my Bible. Daniel? Yeah, right. That's good. That's good. So Daniel said that when he's reading his Bible, he has his phone next to him so that he can look up words that he may not understand or doesn't know the definition to. I think that's great. I think sometimes we can take that even a step further and do word studies. What does this word mean, and how is it used other places in the Bible? But that's great. That's excellent. Anybody else? John, I saw your hand. Adventures in the Bible.
So it may come up, but it's pretty fun because you look at these different adventures, so to speak, and their travels that people went through.
Okay, so he's talking about looking at different travels that people have done, their adventures. I like that. That's neat. Anybody else? Doc?
I like to start with a psalm every day and just continue that right on through according to the day on the calendar, like if it's the 14th. And I'm going to read the next psalm if it's like 44 or whatever.
Okay.
I just love doing that.
Doc says he starts his quiet time with a psalm, Our family, along with our other Bible reading, is going through the book of Proverbs, and we've been doing that for a few months. And every month now we're looking for something different in that psalm. So this month we're looking for verses about friendship, good friends, bad friends, what makes a good friend, what makes a bad friend. And we'll get together hopefully at some meal sometime during the day. And there's been some times, I must confess, we've had to do two today and two tomorrow to get caught up. And sometimes life gets busy, but we want to have that time of devotion. And so look for something that is going to keep your interest. If somebody were to come to me and say, I'm going to start reading my Bible, and maybe they're a younger Christian, I'm not going to say, you know, Numbers is a great book to start reading your Bible. And a lot of people will read and start trying to read from Genesis to Revelation, and they'll get past the 11th chapter of Genesis, and things kind of slow down a little bit, and they get to Exodus, you start, and that's kind of exciting, and then you get to Numbers or Deuteronomy, and that can be a little bit challenging for a new Christian to really start having their quiet time. And so you have to find something. I'm not saying you ignore those books. We ought to spend some time. We ought to grow in that. But find something that is going to keep your interest. Several years ago, I did a reading, a harmony of the gospel. I spent an entire year just harmonizing those gospels in my own heart and had some helps. One year, I read a certain book of the Bible, and I had a commentary that I read along with it. You say, well, that's just man's opinion. That's true. I didn't take the commentary as inspired, but it sure gave me some insight and something to think about as I was reading the Word of God. It wasn't in place of the Word of God, but it was something to help me to understand, to keep interest, to learn and grow and understand who God is. And so sometimes I think we think, boy, if I can just get a chapter a day in, or if I can get four chapters in so I can finish the Bible in a year, I've done my duty. And boy, if reading your Bible becomes a duty, you've missed the point of it. It's not just a duty. That's a time to learn about who God is. It ought to be a time of refreshment. It ought to be a time that we come and just learn something that's going to help us in our walk with the Lord. And so find a consistent time. I recommend in the mornings. That's the best time to start your day with the Lord. But I remember when I was in Bible college and I was working 40 to 50 hours a week, and I was going to school for 12 to 15 hours during the day. And to get up, I was working second shift, and so getting home at 12 or 12:30 and doing homework and all those things. And I'm not complaining. I'm thankful the Lord helped me to get through it. But I realized I was not going to get up an extra hour early and spend time with the Lord. If I got up early, I would have been, you know, that old prayer where you close your eyes and fold your hands and you wake up a half hour later and say amen, okay? It just, I wasn't going to get anything from that. And so what I did was I took my meal time at my job, and that was my time with the Lord. I don't think that was the best time that I could have, but that was the only time that I was going to have. And it was enough to sustain me through that. But I would recommend that you have a time early in the morning while I seek thee, the Bible says. And I want to start my day now that I have some time where I can get up and spend time with the Lord. It is so much better. But maybe your schedule prohibits you from doing that in the first thing in the morning. And if that's true, then find some time that is consistent. Put it on your calendar, just like you're going to meet somebody. Make it a priority. And then spend some time reading God's Word, feeding on God's Word. All right? Make it a habit. You know, when I think of Daniel, when I think of somebody that is consistent, I think of Daniel. And he was three times a day in chapter 6 praying. Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. All right. So read the manual. Set a time. You know, when you begin to pray, I think you ought to ask the Lord to reveal Himself to you. Start by asking Him to illuminate your mind. Have you ever finished your Bible reading and somebody asks you later that morning or later that day, say, did you read your Bible today? Oh, I read it. And I say, well, what'd you read? And you think to yourself, okay, well, I'm reading through this book and I remember finishing something yesterday. What did I read this morning? And it's not to say that you didn't read. It's not to say you weren't engaged. But I think it's good as you're reading to ask the Lord to give you something that you can meditate on through the day. Something you're going to be able to take with you, to roll around. What does it mean to meditate? Does anybody know what that means? To meditate. To take time to dwell. I've heard it put like this, like a cow has seven stomachs and it'll digest something once and then, it's kind of graphic, but it brings it back up. It's called chewing the cud. Have you heard that before? It's just chewing that cud. Just and the same thing. You might read that scripture, but then you're going to bring it up. You're going to think on it. Like Brother John said, you're going to dwell on it. And it's not going to be your entire reading, but it may be something that you're just poking around and looking at from different angles. And what does God mean by that? Or how does that affect my life? And you're meditating on that. I think that I put that in the category of scripture reading because you want to pull something out in your time with the Lord that you can focus on or take with you for the rest of the day. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but I think it's not going to happen by accident. We have to be intentional about that. There has to be some intentionality. And so ask the Lord. Say, Lord, illuminate my mind. Help me to understand what this is about. And then as you're reading, fixate on something and take that with you for the rest of the day. And then you can go around asking everybody else what they read so that if they ask you, you'll be ready, okay? But something else that helps, I've not done this too much, but I've talked to others who this has been a help, and that's to record it. Write it down. If the Lord gives you something, put it in your journal and then look at that later and think about some of the things that God has given to you. And I know that oftentimes God will work in a certain area of our life. And everything we read seems to have something to do with that area of our life. And I think if you're journaling, you can go back and see that the Lord is hammering away, and maybe He just wants to get our attention about something. So write it down. Record it. And then don't be afraid to retell it to others. I think it is a good thing to talk with someone else and say, hey, what did you get out of your Bible reading today? What did you get out of your quiet time? You know, if you have something that the Lord's given you, if you've meditated on it or rolling it around, you'll be quick to want to share it. But you know, as you share it with someone else, it's going to find a deeper lodging place in your own heart, in your own heart. So we want to regularly set a time to read it. We want to request for God to reveal Himself. We want to reflect on that passage. And then we want to record it and retell it to others. If you were to look back over this last week or month, and I was looking for something on my phone, and I found the health app on my phone. And I'd never seen this before, but these rings on my watch, they tell me how often I stand or how many calories I've burned or how long I've exercised. And on my phone, it told me what percentage of the last 90 days I've accomplished each one of those. It gave me a report card. I didn't really appreciate that, to be honest with you, okay? But if you were to give yourself a report card on how often you're spending time with the Lord on a daily basis, spending time in His Word, if you're honest with yourself, would you say there's a consistency there? Would you say that you are spending time devouring God's Word and learning who He is from the time that you spend with Him? Or would you say, you know, you're just having a hard time, it's a little spotty, you know, we need to make it a habit. That habit's going to help you to grow. Without the Word of God, you're not going to grow as a Christian. That is a necessity. It's a must. And so I encourage you, put it on your calendar. Set your alarm. And then keep it. Do it. All right. We only got through one habit, and we're almost done for the night, all right? Habit number two. Not only must we read the manual, I want us to request or make our request known unto God. We talk about a quiet time. And as challenging as it is to get a lifestyle of reading the Bible, it is even more challenging to have a consistent, fervent prayer life. Reading your Bible is good. It's a necessity. But in one way, it's passive. You're just bringing in what God has said. But prayer is active engagement in spiritual warfare. And it is hard work. It is. If you're going to be consistent, if you're going to be alert in that, I'm for prayer lists. I have prayer lists. I pray for everyone in the church throughout the week, and I'm asking God to do something. I pray for our missionaries, and I pray for the elected officials and family members that I have, and so I'm for prayer lists. I'm not against them. But God is not looking just for us to bring a grocery list to Him of things that we're looking to get from Him. Now, He says, bring your requests, bring your supplications to Him. And so, but I think that we can take it a step further. I think that in our quiet time, we ought to be worshiping God. There should be some adoration. I used to use an acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And I really think that when we get started, I think that confession ought to be first. And so as much as it kills me to use the acronym CATS, it's a good reminder. Start with that confession. Make sure your heart is right with God and tell him how much you love him. Do you know when I spend time, what I'm using as the acronym, adoring God, it leads right into Thanksgiving. Because as I am just pouring out my love to him, as I'm telling him how much that I recognize of who he is, sometimes it's recognizing him through the names that he has revealed to us. And you just think about learning who he is through those names. All the Jehovah names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, all those things that he has revealed to us, Adonai. And it leads right to Thanksgiving. Because when you realize that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider, and you start thinking about what he's provided for you, I don't know about you, but I can't help but thank him for that provision. When you think about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, and how that he is showing himself strong on our behalf, I can't stop but to thank him for those areas that he is showing himself strong to me in my life. And so it should be more than just reading a name off of a paper so that you can say you've prayed for somebody. I think that it is good to have a list to remember, but it's not just saying somebody's name. It's not saying somebody's name is not a formula for answered prayer. God's looking for specificity. He wants us, what are we praying for that person? What is it that we're hoping that God's going to do? I think that generic prayers leads to generic answers. We say, Lord, help us to have a good day. Do you ever thank the Lord for the good day that he gave you? What is that qualification of a good day? Any day that you're still alive and put your head on the pillow ought to be an answer to prayer that is a good day. But pray for with some specificity. Be specific in your prayers. Lord, bless the missionaries. It's kind of generic, and I guess you can thank him for it. But why don't we say, Lord, will you use the Duartes to reach this tribe? Will you help the Lockharts there to be a blessing to those that are on deputation and help them to get to where they're going? Will you help the Minions and the Birchwells to have safety and to get into churches that are ready to partner with them both prayerfully and financially? Do you know then when you get a report saying that our missionaries are now at 85%, was it? Just under 90 now. Just under 90 as of today. Praise the Lord. So when you get a report like that, then guess what? You can say, Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. You're providing for that specific prayer request that I've gone to you on their behalf. You can see God working. I don't think we see God working when we pray general prayers. Lord, please help the sun come up tomorrow. Right? And that's the equivalent of our prayers. We need to start praying bigger prayers. We have a big God, and he can handle your big prayers. But pray specifically. Do you know what I find amazing? That God would have us to ask boldly, to come to him boldly. Now, let me read you this verse. You're familiar with it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." That idea of coming boldly really carries this idea of coming confidently. John uses it in 1 John, I think it's 1 John, when he talks about the Lord coming back, that we may be confident and not ashamed. That confidence is not based on your merit, meaning nothing that you've done or earned or gained or because you're super special or that God loves you more than everybody else and so you have this access to his throne room. No, we can come confidently because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And so because of that, we have access to the throne room of grace. You have the ability to have a direct audience with the God of the universe. I mean, that's hard to fathom. Now, what would you think about having an appointment with somebody that the world would consider important, whether it's the 45th president of the United States, maybe the 47th, we don't know yet. But he'd say, okay, well, I'm going to have an appointment. And they would say, be here at this time, and he's going to get off the plane, and he'll shake your hand. And you have to be completely ready. You would be ready for that, probably. And if it's not him, then think of somebody else that you would be prepared for. And let's say that these two, or this person is come, and your spot is empty, and they look there for just a moment, but then they move on, but you've missed your opportunity. We have an opportunity every day in that quiet time to spend time with the God of all creation, to pour our heart out to Him, to tell Him how much we love Him, to thank Him for what He's done for us, to ask Him to forgive us for those things that we know that we have offended Him. And yet, sometimes we're MIA, missing in action when it comes to that. I just want to encourage you to make it a habit. Just the same as you read your Bible, we ought to have a time of prayer. It's a lot more work to have that time of prayer, but it's a lot more rewarding as well. I love to read my Bible, but when you have a sweet time of fellowship and you start flexing that muscle, what used to be the hardest part of your day will become the sweetest part of your day. If you want to grow as a Christian, make it a habit to read the manual. Make it a habit to make your requests known unto God, to pray. Pray. I would say pray every day, but it ought to be pray several times a day. Don't be afraid to be bold, to have that confidence when you go enter into His presence. It's not a flippancy. It's not this brazen, I deserve this. It's coming still to the King of the universe, but with the confidence knowing that you're His child and He wants to hear from you. Acknowledge your sin before Him. And it's a good time to commit yourself to walk with Him. 1 Thessalonians reminds us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Spend time talking to God. Well, we only made it through two, so we will entitle this message, Two Habits That Will Help You to Grow.